The topic that I have for today, which was not planned because of our current circumstances, but I must say it is matim, it's just what we were up to in Shmoneh Esrei, is the bracha of refuah. The bracha of refuah, davening for refuah. So, I'll share my screen, and we'll talk a little bit about the bracha of refuah. I don't plan on doing it in 1 week, but we'll try to get some of the ideas. So the first thing I want to talk about is the following. It seems to be that in the world of Chazal, the value of davening for the sick, again, I could not have picked a better time to give this share, or worse time, whatever you want to say. But the Chazal seem to conceptualize the bracha, davening for sick people, as having unique value. Okay? So, for example, if you look at the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chet, Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav, Afal Pi Shamru Shoel Adam Tzarachav B'Shomei Tfila, even though you can ask for whatever you want in Shomei Tfila, Im Yesh Lo Chola B'Teich Beito, if you have a sick person in your home, Omer B'Birchat HaCholim, you should say it in Birchat HaCholim, Im Tzarech L'Parnas, Omer Birchat HaShanim, right? It picks out two sort of paradigmatic cases. If you have a sick person, you daven for refuah in refa'inu. You need parnas. These are like the basics of what human beings need. And you find this in several places. It's not just there. It seems to be a paradigm here as well. Bava Basar Kofta Zayin, Darash Rav Pinchas Bar Chama, Kol Sheyesh L'Chol B'Teich Beito. If anyone has a sick person in his house, Yelech Etzel Chacham V'Mekeish Elav Rachamim. So go to a Chacham and let him daven for you. Shnemar Chamat Melech Malach Malachim Avet Vish Chacham Yach Berena. So again, you see that this is like a central category, but it's even more than that. For Chazal, it's part of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, right? Central to the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is tefillah for the Cholim. So my grandma, Ilim Mekom Avakar Acholim Mevakei Shavu Rachamim Sheyichya VeKon Sheim Avakar Acholim Mevakei Shavu Rachamim Sheyamut Sheyamut Tzalka Daitach. Are you telling me that anyone who visits a sick person davens for him to live, and anyone who doesn't davens for him to die? Davens for him to die? Ela Kol Sheim Mevakar Cholim Ein Mevakei Shavu Rachamim Lo Sheyichya VeLo Sheyamut. Right? If you don't visit, you're not going to ask. And now really going to daven from to live or die. It's part of the mitzvah itself. and if you look in Shulchan Aruch, this is captured in Shulchan Aruch. You shouldn't visit the first 3 days of the first three hours of the day. Because in the morning, people feel a little bit better when they first wake up, and therefore, it won't seem so bad. So you won't daven with the right intensity. And if you go to the last 3 hours of the day, right, as people are going to sleep, it's the worst, you're going to give up and you won't daven. And therefore, you should pick when you go visit the sick person based on when you're most likely to daven. And if you go and you visit and you don't daven, lo kiyam mitzvah. You don't even fulfill a mitzvah bikur cholim. Siv hei, kishim mevakesh, olav rachamim, if you're in front of him, you can do it in any language. When you're not with the sick person, it has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. And you should include him amongst other sick people, which is what we do. So the first point to make about Birchat Refuah is that it's a paradigmatic tefillah, and it's essential, even to Bikur Cholim, right? This is like a central value in Halacha. That's point one. Point two of introduction that you have to make to the Bracha of Refuah is that it seems to be in Chazal's thought that one of the reasons it's central, there's a central value of davening for a Cholim, is because there's a particular danger by refuah that you will put all your faith in medicine and in doctors. And therefore, as much as it's important in the rest of life to daven and to remember that it's in the hands of God, by refuah, Chazal seem to think that this is particularly important. Where do you see this? So the first place you see this is the following. From the pasuk that you learn that you have to pay health costs when you damage someone, we learn from here you learn that permission is given to the doctor to heal. Now we also derive from this a mitzvah, but many of the Rishonim note that why do you need permission? I mean, what is this language? You need permission. So Rashi says, because you might have thought, you might have thought that God hurt the guy, so I have no right to heal him. And Tosfos similarly says, you might have thought, okay, you can heal him for things that were inflicted by other human beings. Says maybe that doesn't show that this goes against the will of God. So it has to tell you that it's mutter. So here you see that there was at least a hava mina, that even being engaged in a fool was going against God. Kamashmalan, it's not. But that already points in this direction that healing is something that's particularly in God's court. Now, I gave a summary of some of the other deos here from an article I wrote years ago, just because it was quicker this way. Several commentators explain what generated the original assumption that medical treatment should be prohibited. Rashi, Tosfos, and Ramban suggest that since illness is caused by God, any attempt to alleviate sickness could be seen as an attempt to undermine God's will. In a similar vein, Rav Avraham Gombiner, the author of Magen Avraham and his Sefer Zayit Ra'anan, in his commentary to the Mechilta, proposes that while doctors are logically permitted to treat patients initially, after treatment fails, a verse is required to teach that they may continue to treat the patients. Failure of treatment is not an indication that God desires the ill person to remain ill. Rav Chaim, one of the Tosafists, propounds a parallel explanation, suggesting that the verse teaches that many doctors can attempt to treat the patient, not just one. But here's where it gets more complicated. There are certain Rishonim who actually believe that no, it's not just that there was a Havamina that you shouldn't be allowed to be engaged in refuah. The Havamina was that you might have thought that the only thing you're allowed to do is daven. And so much so is the Havamina that certain Rishonim accepted it, Limaskana. That the Ibn Ezra and Ubachia submit that in truth, doctors are prohibited from treating internal wounds. Only external wounds are considered legitimately subject to human intervention. And in his commentary to the Torah, Ramban further suggests that the novelty of the verse is one is permitted or obligated to attempt performing surgery, even if the surgery could possibly kill the patient, making the doctor an inadvertent killer. Rav Kook, in a fascinating explanation, argues that the Torah needed to allow doctors to act in accordance with the medical knowledge available to them, even though medical knowledge is subject to change. But what I want to focus on, what I wrote here from the Ibn Ezra, is that one of the ways that you see the centrality of tefillah to refuah is that for most Rishonim, it was only a Havamina that you're not allowed to be involved in refuah. But for some Rishonim, it was their maskana that either you shouldn't be involved in refuah, or at least being involved in refuah and not depending completely on tefillah was non-ideal. And they based themselves primarily on this pasuk in Divrei Hayamim and another version in Melachim that says, Vayechela asa bishnat 39 l'malchuto biraglav ad l'malo chalyo v'gam b'chalyo lo darash et Adonai ki barofim. The Torah, the Navi is talking about the problem of Asa. Asa was sick, and what was his sin? His sin was that he went to doctors and didn't go to God. In Malachim, you find, Chizkiyahu is becomes sick, and again, the relationship he has here is with the Navi, rather than with doctors, right? It's framed as something that really should be between God and man. And Ibn Ezra, Limaskana, therefore, says, V'rapo yirapei, lo chanan reshut l'rofim l'rapei amakot v'apsim shir b'chutz. This tells you that you only have a heter to heal them with external wounds. But indeed, internal wounds, you can only go to God. What's his proof? Asa is criticized for going to doctors. And the Ramban as well seems to take an approach like this. So there's a big machloket about whether he meant this lahalacha, he meant this only for tzaddikim gemurim. But at any rate, is only as an ideal, but not in practice. But at any rate, he writes, "Va'klal ki bihiyot Yisrael shleimim v'hem rabim." When the Jews are perfect, lo yinaig inanim b'teva klal, they will not be controlled by nature. Lo begufam, v'lo be'artzam, not in their bodies, not in their land. Lo biyachid mehem, not a single one of them. Ki varech Hashem lechamem meyamem v'yasir machlam mikirbam. Sorry, lechmamu meimam. Sorry, I'm so tired. Ki varech Hashem lechmamu meimam. God blesses their bread and their water. V'yasir machlam mikirbam. And removes illness. At shelo yitztarech lerofeh. They won't need doctors. L'chtamer b'derech midarkei rufo klal. They won't have to depend on medicine. K'mo she'amar ki ani Hashem rofecha. V'chein ayu atzadikim osim bizman ha'nevuah. And that's what the tzadikim did in the time of the nevuah. They wouldn't turn to doctors like Chizkiah. They would turn to the Navi. And kings who didn't do that, like Asa, the Torah criticizes. There were clearly doctors. The problem wasn't that there weren't doctors, it was that there were doctors, and he went to them when he should have gone to God. Aval hu kasher yomar adam lo chal ploni matzav chag matzav kim chametz. Aval doresh Hashem b'navi lo yidrosh berofim. One who goes to the Navi shouldn't go to doctors. U'machelek lerofim b'veit osei ritzon Hashem. What do doctors have to do in the homes of those who follow God? God promised He'll take care of your food and your water and take care of your illnesses. And that's what the Gemara means when it says that when Rabba was Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yosef never even had a blood letter come to his house. And then he proves it from the following Gemara in Brachot. The Gemara in Brachot says the following: the Amar of Acha Hanichnas Lahakiz Dam. When you go to let blood, which is a form of medicine for them, Omer, what should he daven? Yiratzom Lofanecha Hashem Elokai Sheesik Ze Li Lerufu Veter Peini. That this should heal me. Ki El Rofei Nemanata Rufuatcha Emet, because you are the trusted doctor, and your healing is true. It's not what people should be doing, it's just what they do, is to go to doctors. And Abaye had said, don't say that. Don't say that you're not supposed to go to doctors. And Kikai Omer Baruch Baruch. But the Ramban argues, right, doesn't quote that second half, but focuses the first. And he says, even when it says, V'rapo yirapei mikan shenitna rushut l'rofei l'rapot, lo amru shenitna rushut l'chole l'rapot. Kiven shechala chole, ba l'rapot, yinak b'rufot, v'lo yamei adan Hashem, shechalkam b'chayim, ein l'rofei l'asrasma mirufuto. What it's telling you is if someone gets sick, and he isn't a tzaddik, and he's of those weak people, essentially, who go to doctors, so then it's not usher for the doctor to treat him. Etc. Etc. So the second point is to note that I think part of the reason that tefillah is so important is, obviously, if you're the Ibn Ezra, it's obvious. There are certain types of refuah, like internal medicine is usur. You have to go to tefillah. So obviously, tefillah is central by it. We don't go that far, la halacha kamuvan. We probably don't even go as far as the Ramban, who says that going to doctors is bidiavad, and a tzaddik shouldn't go to doctors. And again, people, many of the mafarshim, and there's a summary of this in Yeradeshin, Lamed Vav, Nishmas Avram, we don't paskin this way, right? The consensus of poskim is go to doctors, it's a mitzvah, you have to go to doctors, you have to follow medicine. I don't want anyone quoting me as saying that I don't think that's true. But the one thing I do think you get out of this discussion is that the reason I think there's a uniqueness to the bracha of refuah and davening for cholim in general is that there is, at a certain level, a belief that more than anything else, or maybe not anything else, but refuah is something where we uniquely understand that its success depends on God, and we need to be cognizant of that, especially given the fact that we do pursue medicine as a human expertise. And it's dafka, that emphasis on going to doctors and taking care of ourselves and putting in human effort, that requires us to simultaneously dive in to remind ourselves that in the end, God is the one behind it. Okay, so that's my sort of introductory framing to the centrality of tefillah in the world of refuah. What?
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize I unmuted myself.
Oh, that's fine. I thought you had a question, but okay.
No, it's just background. People talking in my apartment.
Okay, that's fine. But that's the first point, the first two points I would make, right? Is there is this centrality to, again, I want to make it 100% clear. Lahalacha, the consensus of poskim, there's a mitzvah to go to doctors, to keep yourself healthy, v'chule, v'chule. But what this discussion at least reminds you is that, especially because we're spending so much time putting in our ishtadlus, it is doubly and triply important that we remember that in the end of the day, the success of it depends on God, which is, again, why today, it's a good day to say it, that simultaneous to Israel, you know, having all its quarantining and shutdowns and testing and everything we're doing, which is a mitzvah, and, you know, obviously we should try to save people's lives, the chief rabbinate decided that a half day of fast and a day of tefillah to remember that none of this is going to be successful without God behind it, that's equally critical from a theological perspective to balance out our emphasis on our own efforts. Okay, so those are my introductory points, and like I said, I didn't plan it that I would be giving this shiur in the middle of a essential health crisis lockdown, but it was good timing, right? Thinking about these issues was a good time to think about it. And again, it only makes it more important for me to emphasize that this is not, I don't know how many times I can say it because I don't want someone quoting me out of context, not you, but whoever hears the recording. Mitzvah, listen to doctors, chayev, keep yourselves healthy, etc. It's just that that emphasis on how much effort we put on as human beings can't erase the fact that God is central to it, and that's why there is this unique role to tefillah when it comes to refuah. Okay, that's the first point. Second point, I think also important to think about nowadays, is that we, in the bracha, we transform a pasuk that began as a tefillah for an individual, and we transform it into a tefillah for a rabbin. Right? The basis of our tefillah is this pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Refaini Adonai ve'irafet, Hoshieni vivasheya, ki tefillati ata. Heal us and we will be healed, and we have to get to this language. Save us and we will be saved, for you are our praise. Now this, on the one hand, makes a lot of sense, but it actually takes some explanation of how do we allow this transformation. Because as the Tosefta says as follows, the Tosefta Megillah, Gimel Men Aleph says,
כתב הנכתב ליחיד מכאן אותו לרבים, לרבים
מכנים אותו ליחיד. רבי יהודה אומר, מתרגם פסוק כצורתו, ראי זה בדאי, והמוסף הרי זה מגדף. We have this this problem of right, in our version it says that you can be mechaneh l'rabim, right? You can be mechaneh l'rabim, but if you look at the version in some of them, and this is what you have in the Avudraham, he says v'yavo gav namin v'tosefta kol hakatuv l'rabim ein mechaneh noto liyachid liyachin ein mechaneh noto l'rabim. Their version, the Rishonim's version of this Tosefta, was that anything that in the pasuk is written in individual, you're not allowed to switch it to plural and vice versa. So how is it that we take this pasuk in Yirmiyah and we transform it from Yachid to Rabim? How do we have the right to do that? So the Rama says, he quotes the Rama, Rabbi Levi Abulafia, Birush Rama Dafka b'targum b'targema psukim or akori pasuk kichtavo bizman shemechavein likrot in rashay l'shanot mirabim liyachid or miyachid lirabim. That's a limitation only in targum when you're reading the psukim. Aval pasuk shel tefila she'ein kavanat tzibur likrotam ela litchanein derech tefila uvakasha. But if you're taking the pasuk and turning it into a tefila, so then you change it in the way that it makes sense. And it makes sense to daven for the kehilah, as the Gemara said before, that we always include the yachid amongst the rabbim. That's the way we daven. That's essential to daven. He says maybe it's only when you read the whole psuk, the whole parak, you're not allowed to do it. Etc. The tour says, "V'av al gav d'tanya kol hakatuv l'rabim ein mechanatol yachid." Etc. How do we say it? So again, he quotes the Rama. That when it's derech be'akasha, he can shart tefila rashin l'shanotam lefi tzorach hasha'a. He quotes this basically identically. And Shulchan Aruch as well says the same thing. Okay. So that's point two, is that while in the Pasuk it is in Loshon Yachid, and when it comes to Targum, you're not allowed to change Yachid to Rabim, when it comes to Tefillah, that you are allowed to, and as we saw before, that's even essential. Right? You're supposed to be doing that. Okay. Next point. Let me stop this for a second. What is this weird phrase, both in the Pasuk, in Yirmiyahu, and which we then borrow over to our tefillah, which is, Hilas ki tehilatiyata. Right, what does that mean? So here, I'll give you a few possibilities and we'll develop some of these more as we go along. I'll throw out a few possibilities. One is that, and this is something we developed when I gave Shir on Atta Kadosh, sometimes our justification for asking God to listen to us is that we represent God. And therefore, when we do well, it is Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. And when we don't do well, it's Achil Hashem. And therefore, what we're saying to God is, since we're the people who praise you, we represent you, that's a reason for us to ask, that we have a right to ask for refuah. Another way of understanding, and I think this is what most of the Mefarshim say, is that it's not quite that we represent him. It's that God, we turned to you and we asked you to heal us. And one of the reasons that we think we have a right to do that is because we're going to appreciate it, right? And this builds on what we said before, is that if we, as we already established, one of the reasons that tefillah is so central to refuah is because it's something that's so easy to say is really about us and our efforts and doctors. And it's so easy to lose sight of the fact that behind all that medicine and behind all of our efforts is God. And that's why we always need to keep that in mind. So it could be that what we're saying is, God, heal us because we are the ones who realize that the true cure is from you. And therefore the fact that we're the people who praise you and will recognize that true refuah comes from you, that is a justification for us asking for refuah. And this is this interpretation I found in the Sefer Olat Tamid on tefillah. One more possibility, and this is taken by Rav Ezra Bick, is the following: is maybe what we're saying is slightly different, right? We've said either we represent you, and therefore we deserve, so to speak, to be healed. The second is that we say to God, look, heal us because we promise that despite all the efforts we're going to put in terms of our human efforts, in terms of going to doctors, we will remember that it's really from you, God. And therefore, in the schus that we recognize the true refuah comes from you, so help us be successful. And one more possibility is to say what we're saying is, God, heal us because, or not because, if you heal us, we recognize that is the reason for our health, because if you heal us, because we daven to you, this is an expression of our relationship. And when you heal us, it is an expression of the fact that we have a healthy relationship, because there's this connection between our spiritual health, so to speak, and our physical health. So we asked you to heal us because we're praising you, which shows that there's a health in our relationship. And if you heal us and we continue to praise us, the fact that we're healed will itself be an expression of the fact that we have a healthy relationship between us. So it could be that this phrase, Kiti Latin Uata, is picking up on these sort of deeper levels of refuah. Okay. So let me share the screen again. that leads me to the next question, which is this only about physical healing, or is it about spiritual healing as well? So the simple pshat is that it is about physical healing. And this is the pshat in the bracha, and it's the pshat in the Gemara. Because if you look at the Gemara says that we follow the order of the bracha of Asolech Cholavonaichi Harofi Lekol Tachlu Aichi. And the Gemara says, the Meimra Degula Refua Basar Slichu Vaksiv Vishaver Rafalo. In a different pasuk, we have Tshuva and then directly into Refua. So he says, "Hahu that pasuk lav refuah da chaloam he refuah de slicha he." That pasuk isn't about human healing. That's about, right? Isn't that about health? It's about forgiveness. But that indicates that our bracha, for all of the spiritual undertones, is fundamentally, or maybe the spiritual rationales, is fundamentally about health. Right? It's about us getting better physically. And that's what the Birkei Yosef notes. That the pasuk, the Gemara understood, was about spiritual health. But The bracha is about physical health. Mikan yira deshagu bechoza omrim bircha rafeinu v'hale arucha umarpe lechol tachloei nafshenu. And he said, therefore, there were some who have the girsa in the bracha of heal our souls. And he said, that's wrong. This bracha, for all spiritual background, is a physical request. Ask God to heal us. The bracha zu b'refuah tachloei aguf ukba v'lo arefuah deslicha. But he notes that there were many who said that maybe it was secondarily about spiritual health, and therefore they left the phrase "harofei l'tachloei nafshenu" in. If you look, however, in the Ha'arot of the Birkei Yosef, he writes that maybe you can defend it, which is to say, maybe the reason you daven for the spiritual health is not because the bracha is about spiritual health, but because of these undertones, because of this recognition. Okay, I might have to stop after this because these hiccups are getting bad. I don't know why I have the hiccups suddenly. It's very odd. Maybe it's just because I'm talking for 3 hours. I don't know. He says, the mechevan shetachluei aguf him toldo tachluei anefesh, since physical illness can be or is an expression of spiritual illness. Imkein shaper mavakesh al tochlo anevishim ikar v'sibat chole aguf. And he says ve'ein l'shol chazal lama lo tikno brachol anevish bilvad. So why did Chazal set up a bracha according to this pshat that's not only about physical health but is also about spiritual health? Ve'yesh lomar the chevanship. He said, maybe the ikar really is the spiritual background. But the reason that most of the bracha talks about physical health is because that's what people ask for. So you need to set up a bracha for that which people are going to ask for. But if you ask me spiritually, what's behind the bracha? What's the real essence of the bracha? It is the spiritual background. So you have here this fundamental machlokas. The Birkei Yosef, right? The Chida says, is the Chida or Ben Ishchai, I forget, says that the bracha is exactly what it looks like. It is a bracha for physical healing. But then you have this other tradition who says, no, maybe that's the proximate cause of people davening. But if you want to ask me the essence of the bracha of refuah, it's that God should help us heal the spiritual flaws that lead to physical ones. And the truth is that the hint to this might be the following, which is the centrality of Mila. The Gemara says that the reason the bracha of refuah is number 8 is to remind us of the Mila. And the tour says, what does that teach you? Why is it so important to have the bracha of refuah be numerically remind you of Mila? To remind you that Shabbos Torah v'hamitzvos bara refuah. To remind you that refuah comes in a schus of mitzvah. Now, the truth is that there are others. Rabin Zun Eibshit says in a very surprising line, which I don't buy at all.
My cousin.
What?
He's my cousin, actually.
Who?
Yonatan Eibshitz.
Your cousin back a few hundred years, but okay.
Yeah, a few hundred years. Like my great-grandparents are
just a little while.
Cool.
Only like, I think like 9 generations.
Okay, well then you can defend this shot if you want. But Yonatan Eibshitz says that maybe the bracha is not really a bracha about refuah at all. It's only a bracha that you should heal babies after the 8th day, and that's what the Gemara means, and that's how he understands the phrase Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael. Why does the bracha finish Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael? isn't refuah something all human beings need? You're right. But the bracha isn't about that at all. It's only about bris milah. I think that's a bit of a stretch. The Shemi Shmuel has a different pshat, which is maybe all healing that comes to the world come bischus hamilah, which again, I think is a bit of a stretch. Rabik has a different pshat, which is maybe what the Torah is getting at is what we said before, is that the brit is the physical manifestation of our covenant, and that is the basis of our connection to health. Right? It's not that, really the bracha is about health, it's just that in the backdrop is always this spiritual rationale. Okay, I think these hiccups are driving me nuts. So I'm going to say, let's stop here for now, and say, the next sources that I focus on are some of the broader themes, and specifically what it means that this bracha is Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael, right? So just the questions I have left here are, just to sort of throw them out here, and you can think about them, is if refuah is such a basic human need, so we've thrown at some pshatim in this, but why is it, in the end of the day, that we end Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael, right? You would think of all brachot that we would limit to Jews, refuah would not be one of them. So what does this tell us about the nature of refuah? And again, we've started building these themes that might answer the question, but we have to flesh it out. Another is, what does it mean, Rofei Ne'eman? What does it mean to be a regular Rofei versus a Rofei Ne'eman, a faithful healer? Those are the two sort of big questions I still have left on this this bracha. But we'll, I guess we'll take it up next time. I can't stand having every five words I need a hiccup. So on that note, I'm gonna call it a day for now.
Refuah shlema, love. I guess go get some water.
Refuah shlema. Yeah, halavai. The biggest problem any of us have is hiccups.
Yeah.
Amen. Keni yiratzon v'nomar amen. You know. Good. Okay. I'll talk to you guys later.